grace that's distributed so that we can overcome stress in our lives. Father, we thank you right now for revelation knowledge in Jesus' name. If you agree, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, write the title down. The title is Managing Stress as Men. Managing Stress as Men. And we'll start here in St. John chapter 16. You know, as I thought about this and did a lot of studying, I was kind of kidding around. I said, you know, I'm getting stressed out working up this message. Hallelujah. No. But a lot of the times you can tell what a pastor has been going through by what he's ministering on. And so I've been facing some points of stress, and because Ryan's here, I guess I have to tell the truth. You know, I can't really lie to you. I'm not perfectly developed in this area myself, and that's one of the reasons that I've kind of chosen to focus on this month. But to kind of kick it off, let's look at this in St. John chapter 16 and the very last verse, verse 33. I want to read this from the King James and then from the Amplified, because the Amplified puts it so well. St. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." How many of you want the peace of God in your life on a permanent basis? That's our goal. In the world, and here's the fact. I wish I could stand here and tell you that there's a realm where there's no stress. Ain't no such realm till you get to heaven. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now the implication is because Jesus has overcome the world and what? The tribulation, the stress that goes with the world. Then if we walk close to Him, we can be overcomers too. I want to read this to you from the Amplified. Just follow me again as I read verse 33. I like the way it puts it. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you shall have tribulation and trials, distress and frustration." Does that describe what we're talking about or what? In the world you shall have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world, I have deprived it of power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. Oh, I like that. I like that. Now, you know, when we talk about stress, a lot of things came to my mind as I studied this out and really just thought about my own life. Stress is a major cause of physical problems in people's bodies. I mean, you don't have to be a medical doctor to know that. I think we're all aware of the connection between the mind, the emotions, and the physical body. But, you know, if you live in a state of stress, and maybe you've had this happen where you get so stressed over something, a pretty common thing is you get a headache. Some people's blood pressure goes up. And if it's a lifelong situation where somebody's living in a period of stress, it actually can cause physical breakdowns. How many of you realize that a lot of marriage problems go right back to stress? I mean, when you boil it down, you say things that you would not normally say, but you say it because you're stressed. Every one of us can think of times where we've either done that or somebody's done that to us. It's like, I can't believe I said that. You know, you walk back in the other room, it's like, I cannot believe, I don't really believe what I just said, so why did I say that? But it was all because, you know, you came home with stress in your life. Bad decisions. A lot of bad decisions go right back to stress. And you've heard the old adage, the old cliche, that you really don't want to make major decisions when you're under stress. Why? You tend to make bad decisions. Well, beyond that, and you may want to just jot some of these things down, write the word stress and then put an arrow, because stress leads to anger. Is that not true? Stress causes you to be angry. Stress can lead to addictions. You know, a lot of people drink because of what? Stress. A lot of people, they get into substance abuse because they are stressed. We mentioned it, divorce, marriage problems. I've heard people tell me that they started smoking because of stress in their life. And that's a way they have of relieving stress. A lot of people tend to move from job to job to job. Why? I can't handle it anymore. I'm stressed. And so they go down the road. Of course, my circle is, it tends to be ministers. And I will tell you this, in the 22 years, this is our 22nd year in ministry, in 22 years of ministry, I have seen men and women leave the ministry, never to return to the ministry. And these are good people. These are people that went to Bible school. I mean, they really paid a price to get where they were, but somehow, and this is a problem we all could fall into, they did not know how to guard themselves against stress. And because they did not know how to guard themselves against stress, they left the ministry. And one thing I've seen is if a person ever leaves the ministry, they're very unlikely to ever return to the ministry because in their mind, ministry equals stress. Everybody say, help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
Guard my heart
against stress.
Now that's regardless of whatever your occupation is. Every occupation, every vocation, there will be some stress. Now, I want to give you a definition for stress and then talk a little bit more about it before we go on and look at some other passages on this. And this is right out, this is kind of a dictionary definition, but it helps us get a handle on this. Stress is physical, mental, or emotional strain. When you define stress, when you boil it down, it's physical, mental, or emotional strain accompanied by anxiety, burdens, and worry. Physical, mental, or emotional strain accompanied by anxiety, pressure, or worry. I'm going to say something that might kind of blow you out of the water. I don't believe that all stress is necessarily bad. Stress, and this is kind of a footnote to the definition, stress originally was an engineering term that they used to determine how much a piece of metal or a structure could carry a load. And it really came from the engineering field and then was transferred kind of over to the psychological realm. People just started talking about stress. As an aviator, one of the things they do whenever they design an airplane is the first airplane that comes off the assembly line, the government requires them to do a stress test. Now I want you to kind of parallel this to how God might view us as His children, and God is designing us to carry a certain load. Is that not right? And so they take this airplane and they will begin to, on the wings especially, there's a spar. There's a beam that runs through the whole length of the wing. They will begin to put weight on that. And some people call that G factor. They'll put weight on that and they will stress those wings to the breaking point. Then they can record and know, all right, this aircraft is designed and built and it can carry this much load. Beyond that load, it will fail. Are you getting anything of this for your life? All right, God has designed us to carry, if we're walking in the Spirit, a supernatural load. Now, stress is not necessarily bad. One of the worst things you can do with equipment, one of the worst things you can do with anything is to not use it. If you don't use it, it can become brittle. Machinery just kind of sitting becomes gooped up. That's just nothing worse than just idle sitting there. It needs to be used. Well, if we can also translate that in our lives, I believe that stress within the limits serves as a motivation in our lives. Are you getting this? So stress is not the problem. It's can you bear the load? Are we together on this? And so stress is something we're not going to be able to escape, number one. Number two, it takes some load for you to function the way God wants you to function. For you just to be inactive, laying on the beach. See, we all have these fantasies. I'm just going to lay on the beach. I'm going to become sorry, no good to nobody. That's exactly what you'll become. Well, I'll be stress-free. Yeah, but you're not doing anything for God. You're not bearing a load. You're not carrying anything. And you're not really designed to just sit there and do nothing. It gets back to the engineering idea of stay within the boundaries. Now, in my life, I've observed this. And I'm just going to kind of open up my life and be very honest with you. One thing I'm going to do as a pastor is I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to stand up here and pull my shirt apart and say, you know, S. You know, I find phone booths and I just change clothes. I am Superman when I'm in the Spirit. But there are times that I get my eyes off the Lord and I tell you, I am not Superman. I am W, wimp. You know, it's like I can't carry the load anymore. And I wonder sometimes, I look back at my life and think, man, how did I do that? It was the anointing. It was the anointing of God. But I know this, that when I stay within my design, structural design, then I can accomplish what God wants me to accomplish. The problem is, we tend to think we can stay up until 12 o'clock every night, get up at 5 every morning, have your quiet time, love your wife, love your children, love the dog, keep the yard cut, go to church, be a tither, do all these things, and we're going way beyond the design load that God intended. And so when we get outside the envelope, when we push ourselves beyond the parameters of design, then we get into a structural failure mode and we wonder what's going on. Am I communicating to anybody? So before we get too further into this, I just want you to understand that it was originally an engineering term. By the way, just kind of a footnote, one of the airplanes, this is a general aviation small airplane, one of the airplanes that never to fail is an airplane called a Mooney. Not to be confused with the cult called the Moonies, you know. There's an airplane called a Mooney, and they actually, it's recorded, they took it and kept loading it and loading it and loading it. The test stand failed before the wing spar failed. They could never get it to crack. And so, I mean, it's who knows where the stress point is on that thing, you know, but it's way beyond. All right, write this down. Stress is a disease of the soul. To think about it that way. Stress is a disease of the soul. I mean, we understand if somebody has a disease, they have a cold, they have a virus, they have a bacteria. Stress is a disease of the soul. And I want to play with that word disease, dis-ease. Dis-ease. So when I am in a state of dis-ease, I'm beyond my structural design capacity, that is in a position of stress. Now, I thought I would, before, go to chapter 14. We're going to go there in just a moment here, St. John 14. But I am not getting ready to give you this list. Don't write this down, by the way. You don't want to write down what I'm getting ready to give you. But I'm not giving you this for you to feel sorry for me. I'm not getting ready to read this for you to go home and, oh my God, we got to pray for Pastor Jason for 4 hours today. Though that would be all right if you wanted to pray for me for 4 hours. I will take it. But as I thought over just the last month of my life, I just began to write down off the top of my head some of the issues or challenges I faced, number one, as a pastor, and number two, as an individual. Now, I've done pretty good. I'll be honest with you. If I were to grade myself, I think I've done, I'm probably at 90%. But there's been some days you would not have wanted to be around me. Ask my son. There's been some days you would not want to be around me. Why? I got my eyes off the Lord. I was under that dis-ease state. And I was beyond my structural design capacity. But let me just read you. This is only the last month of some of the things I've faced, primarily in the ministry, but also I'll throw in some personal things. 3 suicide attempts I've dealt with. 4 couples talking divorce. These are not necessarily people within this congregation, but people that have contacted me. 3 suicide attempts. 4 couples actually using the word divorce, talking divorce. 3 bankruptcy situations. 1 computer crash. Had that one happen. My personal computer. Out of marriage pregnancies. My mom, who lives in Beaufort, South Carolina, being diagnosed with Alzheimer's-like symptoms, and she can't remember things even when you talk to her, the whole thing there. Our family just moved and relocated, and if you've ever moved, you know that there can be a little bit of stress in moving. Personnel changes, employee changes up here at the office. We are in a building program. Throw that in. That's a little one, you know. The upcoming care leader system that we're wanting to implement. Got two teenagers. And may I say, they are wonderful teenagers. One leaking basement. Throw that in. No longer leaking, thanks to Joe Kennedy. Praise God. And peace that passeth all understanding. Hallelujah. But I mean, that is just in a four-week period. Now, any one of those, I would challenge you to pick up any one of those and try to deal with it. What you need to know is don't pick it up. Because if you pick it up with your natural mind, it will absolutely crush you. And if you get your eyes off the Lord, you will feel stressed. Everybody say stressed. Everybody say God bless. Pastor Jason. All right, now, maybe your problem at this point, you're like, wow, I have it pretty good. Maybe that'll help you. Maybe that's why you're here for today. All right, go to chapter 14, St. John 14, and let's look at a couple other verses. Verses 26 and 27. Again, I want to read these from King James, and then I want to read them from the Amplified. Chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus says, "But the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, you say, how does that relate to stress? I want you to underline that, bringing all things to remembrance, because I'll tell you, when I get my eyes or my mind off of what God has promised me and I start trying to analyze it in the natural, that's when I get stressed. Some of you, God has promised your business to prosper. Some of you, God has promised your family is going to have a home or some land. Some of you have some personal promises in your heart. And the problem is, when we get our eyes off what Jesus has said, we start analyzing it to death and we get stressed. Is that not right? Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's the opposite of stress. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Make a note of that. See, the world's peace depends on circumstances. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I would ask you to underline the phrase in your Bible, let not. Now, whose responsibility is that? Whose responsibility is let not your heart be troubled?
Ours.
That's ours, by the grace of God. All right, let me read this from the Amplified. Verse 26. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance, everything I have told you. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let, amen, do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Isn't that good how they amplify? Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. So, you know, one thing that I'm learning about stress, and for many of us this is a review today, but I hope you'll get some new insights too, is that this thing is something that we can shut the door to. It's not something that, you know, well, I hope I don't have any stress today. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Now, don't be claiming it in prayer, because it's going to come anyway. But when it does come, you got to realize Jesus said there is peace to be had. And if we could kind of picture this big reservoir, God has peace. He's got the ability to overcome it. What we have to do is make up our mind, I'm not going to receive this. I'm not going to receive the agitation. I'm not going to receive the stress. I'm staying within my design structural load limitations, and I'm drawing on the grace of God. Now, before I go on and we start looking at more answers than describing the problem, again, every one of us is different. Some of you guys are tremendous handymen. I mean, you know, like if I could just use Joe Kennedy, he comes out, he knows everything there is probably about construction. I don't even know construction. And so, like, I'm looking at this basement when water was coming over the top of this basement. I'm like, where is that water coming from? So my mind, not knowing how a foundation's built, not knowing how the porch sits on the foundation, not knowing how the dirt comes up to the, what'd you call those two boards? The plate and all this kind of stuff, you know. I can't even imagine that. So lack of knowledge can produce stress. If you have knowledge, there is no stress. If I were to take you guys out and set you in my airplane today, crank it up and leave the airplane, you would sense stress come on you. Why? No knowledge. For me, it'd be a fun thing to do. All right, so I'm sitting there looking at that water coming in, and just thank God, you know, Joe comes over there and he does all these tests and he knows where it's at, and he says it's leaking right there. And I said, well, it don't look like there's any cracks right there. That's where it's leaking. He takes a cement drill and goes all along there, and we've had torrential rain since then, and guess what? Hadn't leaked. He fixed it. Everybody say he fixed it. Well, you know, thank God. Amen. God bless. Everybody say God bless Joe. God bless Joe. God reward Joe. And so just using that as an example. Well, I told Ryan yesterday, I said, you know what? I mean, I'm willing to do anything. I'm the kind of guy that's willing to do anything. I'll get in the dirt. We got in the dirt and dug under that sidewalk. And Ryan, he's rebuking that'll never happen again. But we got in there and dug under the sidewalk. But I told Ryan, I said, you know, one of the reasons I get stressed is I'm trying to do things that I don't need to be doing. Come on now. Anybody getting this? Amen. I don't need to be trying to fix that basement when I don't know what I'm doing. Now, I'll get up there if the water's pouring in, mind you. I mean, I'll do whatever I can do. But I need to find people that know what they're doing. Amen. Am I speaking to anybody?
Yes, you are.
Am I speaking to anybody here?
Yes.
Even if I know what I'm doing, like I know, for instance, how to run a missionary agency and so forth like that, but you can't do it all. You need to find people that know to take the load off of you. I'm speaking prophetically right now to somebody. I know I am. I'm communicating by the Spirit. I didn't, you know, think about saying that until the Holy Ghost gave it to me. But I look at my life and I think, okay, whether it's the driveway, whether it's not that I'm not willing to do it, but I've got other areas I need to give my attention. And part of the stress is when I take myself out of the design for my life and try to come over here and do something that I'm not designed to do. All of a sudden, the wings are sagging. Hallelujah. The wings are sagging and Jason ain't flying. All right. Matthew 11. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you know, when you start doing things you don't know what you're doing, you can learn the easy way or the hard way. Amen?
Amen.
Like that guy, we've got a little in our new house. It's really neat. They put some little extras in. There's a little... I wouldn't have ever put one in, you know. I could care less, really, but it's kind of nice that it's there. Now, there's a little outdoor pool. You know what I'm saying? A little pool with running water. I guess the ladies like that. The running water, a little fish in there, stuff like that. Well, there's electricity in it. I mean, there's a pump down in there that pumps water. And the guy told me, he said, now, before you stick your head down in there, you know, unplug the thing. Well, you know, oh, Jason, he's smart, amen, so I don't need to walk over there and unplug that deal. I reached down in there yesterday and it bit me, amen. I said, you know what, I'm going to unplug that deal before I stick my hand down in there again. Now, you electricians are saying like, hello, you know, you should have known that. Well, if you ain't been around it, but now I know, don't stick your hand down in there. Oh, praise God, stress. Matthew 11, we can laugh about it now, honey, it wasn't funny then. Matthew 11, let me read again from both versions. Start with verse 25. Matthew 11, verse 25. And then I want to look at it from the Amplified. Verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things. I want you to just make a note of that or underline that where Jesus said you've hid these things. In other words, this is what we're talking about today is not something the world would know by its own wisdom. Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. How many of you want some revelation knowledge today? All right, let's just pause and thank God for it right now. I want you to just thank God verbally right now. Say, Lord, give me revelation knowledge. I humble myself as a child. I want to receive your knowledge. All right. So what we're talking about, Jesus is saying, spiritually, some of these things are hidden from people who think they know everything. Verse 26. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now, verse 28, 29, and 30. These are key verses. Mark these for the subject of stress. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. When I read some of Joyce Meyer material, in fact, Tim Gant very tactfully put on my desk the other day a little book that Joyce Meyer wrote, which I appreciated, and I studied it in preparation for this, but I guess he could discern by the Spirit that Pastor Jason was a little stressed. So he put a little book that says, Help, Lord, I'm stressed. And it said, Love, Tim. And I thought, well, praise God, he's right, I need to read this. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Joyce translated it this way, Come unto me, all ye that are stressed. I think that fits. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Doesn't that sound like stress? Does that sound like stress? And he says, And I will give you what? Rest. Verse 29, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find what? Rest, there it is, unto your souls. So the soul, mind, will, and emotions, that's the realm that needs to be lined up with the grace of God. Verse 30, For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, in your notes, maybe just draw a line, and I want you to write this thought down in your own shorthand. I just want to look at three keys to resting in the Lord. Very simple, not complicated, but we do need the revelation knowledge of God. Three keys for resting in the Lord, based off of these three verses. Matthew 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. Now, I want to give you those three keys right off, and then we're going to go back and we're going to analyze each one of them individually. Number one, the first key that Jesus said is, Come unto me. Come unto me. Well, that sounds pretty easy right off. You say, well, I've already come to Jesus. Well, is that all that he's saying? You know, just walk the aisle, pray the sinner's prayers. I don't think so. Number one, come unto me. Number two, the second key that he says is take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. So, you know, he gives three very clear directives. Come unto me. Take my yoke, and number three, learn of me. Learn of me. As I studied this out, as I thought about it, as I related it to some of the things I've been, you know, going through in the past month, I thought, you know, if I'm not doing those three things on an active basis, then I am opening the door to stress. Or to flip it around, if I'm stressed, I need to go back and look at those three things. Is that pretty simple? If I'm stressed, then somewhere I've dropped the ball on one of those three things. I want to read this from the Amplified. Look at verse 28. I'll start in verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quietness for your souls. I like that. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant, and my burden is light and easy to be borne. All right, now let's look at these three things. Number one, come unto me. When Jesus says, come unto me, I think he's saying more than just, Jason, have you been saved? Have you come unto me? back in 1968 or 69. It's more than that. It is an ongoing dependency. I want you to write that down. It is an ongoing dependency on the Lord. Come unto me. Notice he doesn't necessarily say, and I'm not against these things, he's not saying, come unto a religious work. Come unto church. I'm not against going to church, obviously. Come unto tithing, though we believe in tithing. Come unto your Bible, though we believe in reading the Word. The first and foremost is come unto me. Now, when I say a dependency, we all battle this, particularly in our Western culture, and that is, jot it down, the humanistic philosophy. What is the humanistic philosophy? The humanistic philosophy is make it happen. Huh? Come on now. Make it happen. If it's going to be, it's up to me. You ever heard that one? If it's going to be, it's up to me. Now, I'm not against the work ethic and I'm not against working hard and making plans, but this underlying thing of, I've got to make it happen, push, 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 drive, drive, drive. If it's going to be, it's up to me. And if I get in trouble, I'll call on Jesus. That is not what Jesus is after. He's after a state of, if you didn't write it down, dependency. Where every day I am active, I'm trying to do what I do with a spirit of excellence, but it is Christ in me doing the work instead of Jason trying to perform well enough that I might get God's attention. Am I communicating? So often, when I feel stress, it's because I'm not resting in the Lord in the sense of stepping back, taking a deep breath and saying, Lord, forgive me. I've been driving really hard here trying to make it happen instead of letting you do the work through me. And that'll cure most of the stress right there. Let me give you three indicators. These are subpoints under come unto me. I want to give you three indicators of stress and what I would call self-dependency. Three indicators that you're in stress, or maybe more subtle, self-sufficiency, self-dependency versus dependency on Jesus. Are you getting this? Dependency on Him versus self-dependency? All right, here's a good indicator. Number one, when I become addicted to reasoning. When I find myself overthinking an issue. Have you ever done that? Get yourself, your brain all tied in a knot? You're addicted to reasoning. You're thinking, analyzing. You can go too far in the natural and you totally get out of the Spirit. Case in point, if I thought about this project, which I have at times, and I'm not going there, amen, because it produces stress. If I think about this building project and analyze it in the natural, to the size congregation that we have, the age of our church, I've had a number of people, and in the natural, they're right. They're saying, man, you got a church that's just a year and a half old. You don't need to be in a building project. Don't you know that you could stress the people out? I said, well, yeah, I do know that we could stress the people out if we stood up every Sunday and beat them up for money and, pushed real hard, this and that. And I said, we haven't done that. But when I think in the natural and try to figure it out, it don't figure. But when I get back to what has the Spirit said, I want you to relate this to your life. What has the Holy Spirit said in my heart? I've got to rest in His Word, and Jason better not try to take the bull by the horns, so to speak, and make it happen. If it's going to be, it's up to me, because I can't make it happen. If I try to do that, people will sense that I'm not in faith, that I'm not resting in God. They'll get agitated, and it'll just be a big mess. instead of my repose being in the Lord and my rest being on Him. How's He going to do it? Don't really know. Don't really care. Amen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You getting this? You getting this? So one of the indicators of stress and self-dependency versus dependency on Jesus is addiction to reasoning. Have you ever asked why God? When God? Why God? When God? People come up to me all the time. Why do you think so-and-so died? I don't know. You want me to sit there and analyze until we both get confused? Why did so-and-so die? Why does so-and-so have a sickness in their body? Did they do something wicked? Well, if that were the case, the whole world would have been dead a long time ago. Amen. You know what I'm saying? And so I have long since got to the point that on certain issues, I'm not going to analyze it now. If the Holy Ghost speaks to me, and He has before, if the Holy Ghost speaks to me and I go to somebody and the Lord says, you know, this is on you because of whatever, I will minister what I sense is the Spirit of God. But just in a general sense, I'm not going to analyze something and try to figure it out with my brain. It only produces stress, and if you go at it that way, you'll produce condemnation on other people, and you don't want to do that. Number two, a second indicator, addiction to reasoning, is confusion. Man, when I sense confusion in my life, you may want to jot this down. That's when I know I've gone too far in my mind versus trusting in what the Spirit of God has said. You ever been there? Anybody ever been there? And usually one leads the other. You know, you get addicted to reasoning, and it's not too long until you're confused. Because deep inside, your spirit man knows what the Holy Spirit says, but your mind is in battle with the Spirit, and there you go, you've got confusion. You got to get on the Word, and you got to get back to the Spirit. Are you hearing me? You got to get on the Word, and you got to get back to the Spirit. So addiction to reason leads to number two, confusion. Number three is worry. Worry. When I sense worry, anxiety, fretting in my life, that's a positive indicator that I'm definitely into self-sufficiency, self-dependency, and stress. Put this term below worry, and that's the term survival. Now, I will tell you, and again, it gets back, I mentioned this, a lot of divorces happen if the root cause is really they're not managing stress properly. And so they take it out on one another. But I've heard people say this, you know, if I stay married to them, I just can't survive. I'll hear that. You know, I'm gonna go crazy if I stay married to them. Oh, I see. So the issue is survival. That's what we're called to. But seek ye first survival. The Bible says, seek ye first. Somebody help me preach. What does it say? Seek ye first survival. Of self-dependency, self-sufficiency. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So, we won't turn there, but you go back to Matthew 6. Jesus is basically coming against the survival mentality. I mean, if your life revolves around, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? Will this person make me feel comfortable? Are they meeting all of my needs? You know, you're in the wrong mode. You're in a survival mode versus the kingdom mode. The kingdom mode. So many times stress is relieved by just seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Get back to home base. Get back to the basics. All right, so come unto me. When Jesus says, come unto me, go back to verse 28 and let's look at it. The requirement is come unto what? Me. What is the promise? He says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, let's just call that stress, and I will give you rest. So there you go. The opposite of rest is strife, stress. The opposite of stress, strife is rest. So if I come unto Him, I'm going to find rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you And I'm going to separate these two out. Take my yoke is number two. And the third one I gave you is what? Learn of me. And it, again, look at the end of verse 29. It leads to rest in your souls. Verse 30, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, Jesus is using a mental picture that may not be readily seen by us. We don't think in terms of yoke. Now, I've got to lift you out of the North American culture, and let's journey now over to an agricultural culture, you know, of the Mideast. Let's think in terms of what Jesus was facing. In those days, they would use the oxen. We've seen this probably on TV or documentaries. They would hook up an oxen or a beast of burden, and they had a harness, different things, piece of wood, sometimes leather, but they would hook up this oxen under what was known as a yoke. Now, there's three reasons for a yoke. I want you to write these down in my research that I came across. Number one, the yoke distributes the load evenly. That's very important back to this engineering concept of stress and, you know, how much load can it bear. A yoke properly fitted distributes the load evenly. Number two, if the yoke fits properly, it protects the animal. It's a pad. It's padded. It fits properly. It protects the animal. And number three, it allows maximum performance. Ooh, are you getting anything out of this? What is the yoke again? Number one, it distributes the load evenly. Number two, it protects the animal, the oxen, or if it's a leather strap like a horse. Number three, it allows maximum performance. Maximum performance. Now, Jesus says, back to Matthew 11, take whose yoke? Whose yoke? All right, we all like to get our own yokes. We all like to get up under our own. Jesus, I know you've got a harness over there, but I like this harness better. I like this yoke. This is a prettier yoke. This one's painted yellow or whatever you like, you know. This yoke looks nicer than your yoke. Now let me play on this, and I want to go somewhere with this. Come unto me. When you come unto Jesus, Jesus has a job description. Jesus has things for you that He doesn't have for me. Anybody getting this? If I try to get up under your yoke, even the yoke Jesus gave you, it may not fit me.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
It was designed for you. Just in the natural, if it's not fitted properly to that type of animal or that size of animal, it's going to rub the animal raw. It will not allow maximum performance, and it will not distribute the load evenly. So the job cannot be done properly. I believe what Jesus is saying is when you come to me and you quit depending on self, self-sufficiency, self-dependency, when you come unto me, then my counsel will be yours, and I'm going to fit the job description. I'm going to fit the mission. I'm going to fit everything that you, just for you. And if you'll wear that yoke, then you'll have maximum performance. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to open up an area in my life that was a great disappointment to me. I'll be honest with you. But I can see the wisdom of God. When we started into radio ministry, I knew that I had heard Jesus say, get on the radio. And we're still on radio. We air about 20 times a day or so. And so the Lord supernaturally opened a door for me to go visit Dave and Joyce Meyer in St. Louis. I did not pursue this. In the natural, it just kind of happened. They have a son that who's known as David Jr. And I just so happened, I had taught David Jr. at a Bible school in Jacksonville, and that's how this meeting occurred. Well, not only did the meeting occur, I called up Dave Jr. and he said, why don't you come over and see my mom and dad's operation? Well, that's like if you have a business, somebody who's a little further along inviting you to go see their business, you might learn something. Amen? So I said, man, I'd jump on that. You know, I don't have to pray about that. I'm like white on rice. I'm gone. You know, I'm there. Just so happened the day I'm walking through that Dave and Joyce are there. Now, with their travel schedule, even in those days, that was phenomenal that they were there. It just so happened not only were they there, they liked me. That's a miracle. Amen. They wanted to spend time with me. They come out of their office. They drop everything they're doing. And now I'm not just walking around with David Jr. I'm walking around with Dave and Joyce Meyer. And it just so happens we're going to go to lunch together. And I mean, all these things start happening. Just so happens Joyce says, do you feel called to radio? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. I said, I can take you back to a point in time where Jesus spoke to me in my heart, and we're on two stations. At that time, we're on two stations, and I said, I just don't know how to process orders. I don't know how to do the credit card thing and all that. I said, there's a lot I don't know. And I mean, answers were just coming that day. Are you getting this? But something that Dave Sr. said disturbed me, and it was by the Spirit. He said, well, you know, even though the Lord's called you to radio, he said, you may have a different path than we've had. And you'll just have to get the wisdom from Jesus. Now, that sounds pretty plain vanilla counsel. But when he said that, I didn't like that. That was like, I really don't want a different path. I want your path. And in my mind, radio and conferences went hand in hand. If I'm going to get on radio, it makes sense to me. If I'm going to be on radio every day in Nashville, why don't I go to Nashville to have a conference? Hello. Seems like a no-brainer. If I'm on every day in Albany, New York, why don't I fly up to Albany, New York and rent the ballroom at the Marriott on Wolf Road and have me a Bible conference so I can invite all the people who listen to me on radio? Are you getting this? If I'm on every day, you know, in Detroit, why don't I go to Detroit and have a conference? Which we did. We went to all these places. But before that day was over, Joyce said, would you like me to pray and ask the same anointing to come on you for radio that's on my life? I went like, let me pray about it. I prayed about it. Yes. And she said, I got the anointing from Marilyn Hickey. She said, Marilyn Hickey laid hands on me. I'm going to lay hands on you. I said, put both hands, and if you can get your feet up there, get them up there too, you know. And I mean, I was just in the Spirit, I was sucking. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, God, I just receive whatever. I mean, I know I've got to make my own way in the sense of the Lord, but I want the anointing. It was a wonderful day for me. Well, I went out of there, but those words from David Sr., now I've never told him this because I haven't had that much time with him since then. They kept echoing in me. You're going to have to find your own path. You may find a different path. All right, we launched out. This is when Jeff Hidden was with me. And we began to have conferences. We had conferences in Lexington, Kentucky, Albany, New York, Detroit, Michigan, Nashville, Jacksonville, Florida. I mean, we were going to these places. And, you lay out some money before you ever have one person walk through the door. They don't just let you meet in these places for free. And so even with a trim back budget, just two or three guys and some volunteers, we might have $2,500 committed before one person walks through the door. You know, your airline tickets, your flight there, shipping your stuff, on and on you go. And so, I mean, you know, kind of a high risk thing. Different than walking into a church where, you know, the pastor's got the congregation and, you know, you know they're going to take an offering for you and you're going to be taken care of, hopefully. You getting this? Give me some of the inside scoop here. And so we had these rallies. Some of them were enormously successful. I mean, our first one in Lexington, Kentucky, Jeff's already down at the room. The phone rings and he says, Jason, you won't believe it. And I'm like, nobody's there? You know, he goes, the place is packed out. And I'm like, yes, you know. We walk in there to our first conference, and I mean, there's like over 100 people that we've never met that are there from radio. I'm like, hallelujah, I have found my niche, I found my yoke. Are you seeing where I'm going with this?
Amen.
I found my yoke. We had one up in Detroit and one in Albany, New York that were phenomenally successful. But as I kept going in this, the peace of God began to leave me over these areas. Now, I'm not talking about it got hard. I mean, a lot of things get hard. But I'm talking about a consistent something wasn't right. We go to Nashville. I don't know really to this day what happened. The spots didn't get aired or something. We were there. One person shows up at my conference. One person. That's a little bit of a letdown. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And so I'm in the room. One guy shows up. Or actually a couple. One guy and his wife. And they were embarrassed. I was embarrassed. Of course, I'm thinking in terms of, man, you know, I've lost $2,500. Not to mention, you don't just want to regain your investment. You want to make some money so that you can pay bills and operate and so forth like that. And so, man, I'm under. You know what I'm saying? And so I said, be honest with you. And we had our tapes all set up, you know, and all this stuff, banners up and everything. I said, I'm so disappointed and stressed. I said, I need to plant a seed really bad. I said, so I want you guys, because y'all have showed up, I want you guys to go back there and pick out any tape sets you want. Jeff, give them bags. Load yourselves up free of charge. I want to bless you for coming. They were like, oh, all right. We're glad nobody came, you know. They were back there and they about cleaned me out, man. They got all these tapes. And I said, now, before you go, I said, I'm here, you're here. If you don't mind, I'd like to go ahead and teach what I was going to teach. They said, yeah, we'd like that. I got up, just like I'm doing now. I had one couple and Jeff, my faithful worker. And I mean, I taught for an hour. I gave an altar call. You know, anybody want to respond? Two people sitting there. I mean, I laid hands on them. I did it good. In other words, I gave it 100% as though the whole place was filled up. But I go back to this. Something wasn't right. The Holy Spirit, during that time, began to bother me. Can you imagine God doing that? The Holy Spirit began to bother me about starting a church in the Marietta area, Kennesaw area, which is what we've done now. At the time, I didn't want to hear it. I said, my yoke, my mission is radio and conferences. My philosophy is love them and leave them. Hallelujah. Blow in, blow up, and blow out. Hallelujah. That's the evangelistic's philosophy. Blow in, blow up, and blow out. Leave a smoke trail behind you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody getting this? I'm telling you, I just began to feel something's not right. And then the Spirit of God clearly spoke to me somewhere up north. I forget what city I was in. And he said, how many of these conferences you got planned? I'm like, you know, you're in trouble when God starts asking you questions like that, as if he don't know. I said, well, let me get my calendar. And so, you know, I got my calendar. And see, I'd already prepaid. You have to send a deposit months ahead to rent like a nice ballroom at a Marriott or Hilton or something like that. And advertisement going out. You can't just plan one of these a week ahead. And so I looked and I think I had 8 conferences on the books, money already out there and stuff like that. And it was just as clear as a bell, which I did not like. And then Dave Senior's words come echoing back. The Lord said, I tell you what, he said, I'm going to honor your faith for these next conferences. Go ahead and fulfill your calendar, but don't plan anymore. My anointing will not extend beyond those, whatever it was, 6 or 8 conferences. And I will cover you financially no matter how many people come there. But beyond that, your next step, your next part of your mission is you've got to get that church up and running. And in my mind I said, Lord, I said, I don't see how radio can possibly work without me going, you know, to these places and developing supporters and investing. He said, that's because you're thinking with your natural mind. He said, I've called you to radio, but the conferences, don't even think about those for the time being. Start the church. And that's when, you know, it's like when you get a white car, you notice all white cars, or blue car, you notice all blue cars. That's when, as I'd flip around on TV and stuff, watching some of the guys speak, I started noticing how many successful pastors there are who do have media ministries, which I'd never seen. And it's kind of like hope came into my heart. I thought, well, you know, I think God could do this. If God's anointing's on it, He could do it. How many of you believe that? So I went ahead and I fulfilled those, and I'm not... Am I rambling, or are you getting something out of this? I'm talking about take His yoke, not the yoke you would like, not the yoke that you think that you'd like to get up under. You got to do what God's told you to do, because that's where the anointing is. That's what's going to fit you. And again, you can't overanalyze this. Why would the Lord want to use Joyce like that instead of me in conferences? Is my temperament weak? Is my personality weak? Am I prone to falling into some sin or error that I don't know of? Don't think so hard. He's the master. And I don't want to leave you guys with the impression that this has been a torture session starting this church. I will be honest with you now. You could not crowbar me out of here. Because not only do I know I'm obeying God, I'm actually very much enjoying the lifestyle. The past year has been a career change for me. There were some major emotional, psychological adjustments going from traveling to staying put. But now the friendships, just the friendships I have in this room, I never had before. Because when you travel, you don't have those kind of friendships. And I'm telling you, I would not want to swap. If the Lord said pick right now, I would say, well, Lord, now that I've had a taste of this, I would really like to have the local ministry where we can have friendships and relationships. You know, realizing we've got to work with people issues, that's fine, but our care leader system is going to help take some of that load off. I said, but I really don't want to go back to the road, if you want to know the truth, because it cuts you off from so much of the quality of life that I am now beginning to see. And so, Lord, in your wisdom, I can see, thank God I can have an outreach, a media ministry, but thank God I don't have to go, you know, work the road to make it happen. I can trust God, and His anointing can do it. Are you getting this?
Amen.
One final thing before I leave this. We did have a meeting, and again, in my mind, Kent, the city's kind of all blurred together. We had a meeting where very few people came towards the end. Every conference was a miracle of provision. We never once came away from a conference during that period that we did not pay the expenses and have at least $1,000 offering beyond that. And I just do offerings very casually like I do here. Don't beat people up for it. And we had one where whenever the last person left, you know, Jeff was responsible for the money, and he would come and he said, you know, we paid our expenses, but we didn't. There's no offering beyond that. You know, we met our expenses. I was like, well, that's kind of unusual, you know, because I really thought the Lord had said, you know, His promise was, we heard a knock on the door. I am not lying to you. We had locked the ballroom doors because, again, it's not like we had a big crew. It was the two of us. So at the last meeting, we'd preach and we'd take off our coats and ties and start loading everything up. Knock on the door. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's probably somebody that wants me to pray for them. And I'm tired. It's 11:30 at night. I want to go to, you know, bed. Forgive me, but that's the way I was thinking. And so I know you guys are more spiritual and you'd be ready to go at all hours of the night. And so Jeff kind of goes over there and cracks the door and says, can I help you? And there was a man out there. And he said, is there any way that I could see Brother Jason? And Jeff was like, well, what is it about? Maybe I can help you. Maybe I can pray for you. And he said, well, I couldn't make the meeting. I live an hour and a half away. I'm a medical doctor. I got tied up. And I at least wanted to come over and give my offering. He stuck an envelope through the door. And when Jeff opened it, it was a check for $1,000 from this guy. We had not only paid the expenses, God had sent a guy who didn't even make the meeting to give an offering to help the ministry go on. Is that good or what?
Amen.
Everybody say God is good.
God is good.
Now, I took the time to go through that because if I don't take the yoke of Jesus, if I invent my own yoke, try to get up under your yoke, Joyce's yoke, someone else's yoke, go back to the three things I gave you. The load is not properly distributed. Is that correct? The animal, in this case, me, I'm not protected. It's rubbing me wrong, raw. And number three, there's not going to be the maximum performance that Jesus can get out of my life. Come to me, take my yoke upon you. Third thing we said is what? Learn of me. Learn of me. Again, he has not left, don't miss this, he has not left the example of the oxen when he says this. Come to me, get under my yoke, and do what? Learn. Now, when they would have two oxen, sometimes they just have one, but if they had two oxen side by side, typically they would have a mature animal that knew how to plow, knew how to pull the load, and they would hook up a younger oxen in that yoke. And what happened is that that more mature animal that knew the path, that knew the routine, he was training the younger one. You getting this? So when Jesus says, take my yoke and learn of me, the picture is Jesus is pulling the weight. We're hooked up next to Jesus thinking we're pulling the weight, but we ain't pulling the weight. The mature one is pulling the weight. And he knows the path and he's stepping it off, and we might be prone to pull over to this side or pull over to that side or stop. The mature one is stepping it out, and we are learning the path because we are letting the mature one do the work. Are you getting this? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he says, learn of me, it's the idea of the younger oxen harnessed up who is learning from the mature one. Write this one word down, then I want to give you seven things. Just write this one word down, teachability. You know some people aren't teachable? I said some people aren't teachable. And Jesus himself can't even help some people. Because Jesus will either come to them and deal with them, or Jesus will send a pastor or a teacher, or Jesus will send a friend over. Jesus will send someone, some way, and try to get to that person and correct them, help them, teach them. And some people are so proud, they don't want to be shown how to do it. Can't show me, can't teach me anything. Proud, arrogant. And so guess what? The revelation knowledge can't get to them. Let's all say, I'm teachable.
I'm teachable.
Everybody say, I'm teachable.
I'm teachable.
I want to learn God's ways.
I want to learn God's ways.
See, this all goes back to stress. I'm coming to Him, not self-dependency, self-sufficiency. I'm going to let Him live His life through me. I'm hooked up under, I'm doing what He wants me to do, not what everybody else thinks I need to be doing, or what maybe even I think I should be doing. And I'm teachable so that He can show me not only what to do, how to do it. Seven quick things, I'm not going to labor this, seven just off the top of my head that have helped me. And whenever I've, that 10% or some days it might even be worse than that, 20%, I've graded myself on a curve. Hallelujah, amen. Some of those days when I'm stressed, when I go back to these points, this is what helps me regain my focus. Number one, stay filled with God's Word. How many of you know if you're not in the Word of God, 2, 3, 4, 5 days, you're dragging. You know what I'm saying? Number one, stay filled with God's Word. And that's a temptation all of us have to just work with. We get distracted. I'm busy. I don't have time for my quiet time. Let's just call it what it says. I don't have time for God. And so, you know, I'm out of fuel. Number two, use wisdom. Know your limits. Number two, use wisdom. Know your limits. Finally, I'm 48 and a half years old. I'm 48 and a half years old. I'm really at the point now that I can tell physically, sleep-wise, I'm talking sleep, I'm talking energy level, I can tell when I'm at my stress load limit. Remember back to the engineering term? And there's times now that I'll just say, I'm going to bed. Well, honey, we're going to do this. Martha, I'm just reached my limit. You know, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not. We'll get it done, but I've got to go to bed right now. Why? I'll start snapping off. I'll start saying things that I shouldn't be saying. I'll start doubting my own calling. I'll start doubting that I'm alive. You know, I need to get some sleep. I think Ryan was there last night, weren't you? 13 hours of sleep he needed. He'd been working. Who's been working that guy? Robert McFarland been working that boy. The mature hooked up showing the younger. Amen. Number one, stay filled with God's Word. Number two, use wisdom, know your limits. Number three, take a Sabbath rest. Put a star by that one. Take a Sabbath rest. What do I mean by a Sabbath rest? Take a day off. Now, I'm not saying that from a religious standpoint, like, you know, you've broken the law of God if you pick up, you know, a basket on Sunday. No, we're not talking religious stuff here. We're talking the principle of the Sabbath. And God Himself, does anybody remember how many days it took Him to create creation? I got five, I got six. How many days I got?
Six.
And He rested on
Sabbath.
Well, that ought to tell us something. And in the ministry, you know, your day off is probably not going to be Sunday. Sunday's kind of your work day. And so your situation may vary depending on if you're on shift work or whatever, but you need a day off where you do something fun. And, you know, on our day off, we tend to, I'm going to work in the yard, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do laundry. Sometimes you just need to sit. And that back porch we got, I'm starting to just sit out there and listen to that bubbly water that guy put out there, you know. And I've learned not to stick my hand in it when it's plugged in, though, you know. But I just sit out there and, you know, with some lemonade. What are you doing? Nothing. Really, I am. I'm recharging my batteries. Quicker version, stick your hand over there and you'll get recharged, you know. I'm stuck on that deal for some reason. All right, number three, take a Sabbath rest. Number four, obey God in making commitments. Obey God in making commitments. Well, we'd love to do everything, but we can't do everything. Isn't that right? Everybody say no. Everybody say no. Everybody say no.
No.
Hey, could you do this? Could you do that? Well, you know, I'd really like to, but I don't think I can make the commitment. You know, you say it in nice ways, but, well, why not? I just don't think I can make the commitment. And so that goes kind of is back to knowing your limits, but obey God in making commitments. Now, let me underscore the two words, obey God. Everybody say obey God. Please underline that. Because in the natural, I'd like to say no to everything. In the natural, hey, let's retire at age 48, you know, let's move to the Bahamas and let's just drink, you know, fruit drinks the rest of our life. That's not what God wants. And so, obey God. Find out what God's priorities are and obey God in making commitments. Learn to say no to some things, even some good things. Number five, cast your cares daily. Cast your cares daily. You have worries, you have problems, stresses, and it helps me to verbalize this where I just say, Lord, I'm giving you that situation. I think about it again. Lord, I'm giving you that situation. I think about it again. Lord, I'm giving you that situation. How many times do I need to give it? Give it until you've given it. And any one of these, by the way, look at the ones we've just covered thus far. Any one of those, if I'm not doing those, will become an open door to stress. Isn't that true? Number six, promote peace in your relationships. Number six, promote peace in your relationships. And put a parenthesis, offenses. Now, I started last Sunday, and if you weren't with us, I really encourage you to get that tape on the subject of the spirit of offense. But every one of us, whether it's a marriage, our children, the office environment, there's just going to be rough edges at times. And so when you sense a rough edge, or you've said something a little sharp, or something you didn't feel like you communicated properly, go after peace. If you need to go back and just say, you know, I'm sorry that I popped off like that. Would you forgive me? See, a lot of guys aren't willing to do that with their wife, and so that's why their marriage is always in a state of tension. And so learn to be humble and learn to promote peace in your relationships. Otherwise, it'll be an open door for stress to come in. Number seven, and I'm sure you can add to this list, but number seven is be a giver instead of a taker. Be a giver instead of a taker. Why do I say that? Because people who think about themselves all the time, they are usually stressed. Why? Everything's not lining up the way I want it to line up. And so often you just need to get out of old stinking self and want to do something to help somebody else, and that becomes a seed for your own harvest of peace. Remember, Jesus said, take my what? Back to the example. What is that beast of burden doing? What's he doing? Go back to the illustration of the image. What is that animal most likely doing? What kind of work is he doing? Pulling, plowing, planting seed, harvesting. Are you getting the idea? He's doing something for someone other than himself. And so when we are hooked up to Jesus, no doubt he's pulling the load. We're not pulling the load, but we're in his yoke. He's pulling the load. We're in his steps. We're probably doing something for someone else instead of just what self would like to do. I hope some of the things I've shared with you, some of the openness I've shared from my own life, will be a blessing to you on how to manage stress as a man. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this word. We thank you for the scriptures. Most of all, we thank you for the grace of God that can come into our lives and help us to manage and overcome stress. Lord, we want to be maximum performers in the sense of you living through us. Lord, we want to be those who have the weight evenly distributed. Lord, we want to serve you, but while we're serving you, not burn out, not stress out, but walk in the peace that passeth all understanding. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Here's what I want to do. 5 minutes. I want us to, normally we discuss the session. I don't want to do that today. I want us to pair up with one other person and pray for one another. So we can do that in 5 minutes. Find somebody else. Preferably not, you know, your best friend that you're always with. Find one other person, pair up with them, ask them, hey, what can I pray for? Has anything been stressing you? Pray for that, and then turn it around, let them pray for you, all right? Amen. Find somebody and go at it. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't really count, so we may have to have, you know, a group of three, but preferably just find one other person or no more than three.